Sabbath greetings, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And before we get into our lesson study, let us please bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care. Thank you for being the kind, compassionate, and loving Father that you are. And indeed, help us to continue looking up to our Savior who perfectly represented your image. And by beholding him, be more and more changed into your likeness and character. We ask that thy presence be here in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much, dear Godhead, for making possible our salvation on an individual, personal level. Thank you so much for all that you have and are doing in behalf of thy people. Thank you for your love, and we love you too. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and we're in chapter 39 of our study book, Desire of Ages, and we're about halfway down on page 369 to the paragraph that begins, Christ has bidden us. And last time we learned that when God allows us to be brought into strait places or into tribulations or whatever tries our faith, it is so that we can exercise looking unto God and depending upon him for wisdom and deliverance. And if we begin looking or depending on others, including ourselves, then we're going to make the trial that much more intense. And we're going to suffer more than we needed to suffer. So God allows us to exercise our faith so that it can be built to the point that it's immovable upon the rock Christ Jesus. And without these trials and tribulations, then our faith would remain weak, and thus we would be susceptible to caving in to the extreme pressure that the devil is going to bring each one of us under to try our faith and to get us to follow him and reject the Savior. So every time we find ourselves in an emergency, we need to seek help from Christ because he is all wise and he is all powerful and is very capably able to deliver us and to turn that apparent disaster into a major victory for us as well as for the spreading of his truth and glory around the world. Amen. He is all power. Omnipotent. So we can have the fullest confidence in God's ability to help us in every time of need. And that takes faith. And the more abundant our faith, the more easier it's going to be to overcome the world. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. Christ has bidden us through the prophet, deal thy bread to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. Isaiah 58, 7 to 10. He has bidden us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. So here we see that acts of kindness done for the welfare of others goes hand in hand with the preaching of the gospel. So if all we do is preach, but we do not act out what we preach, then our message is hollow because it's not backed up with actions. So faith and works must go together. The preaching of the gospel along with deeds of kindness to others have to go hand in hand. And when you look at the life of Christ, at least 50% of his life was spent on helping others, and the rest on preaching. So there has to be a combination of faith and works, a combination of good deeds combined with the preaching of the truth, the handing out of tracts, in order to truly represent the Savior and to give glory to God. Continuing. But how often our hearts sink and faith fails us as we see how great is the need and how small the means in our hands. Like Andrew looking upon the 5 barley loaves and the 2 little fishes, we exclaim, what are they among so many? Often we hesitate, unwilling to give all that we have, fearing to spend and to be spent for others. But Jesus has bidden us, give ye them to eat. His command is a promise, and behind it is the same power that fed the multitude beside the sea. There's some powerful insights into these passages, dear ones. When Elijah was directed by the Lord to visit a particular town and came upon by divine intervention the widow and her son that was making the last bit of flour and oil into a loaf of bread, and then they were going to die. That was all they had in the whole world. And Elijah requested her to first make him a loaf of bread. And he promised her that God would provide for all her needs. That woman's faith was tested. Was she going to give up what she had to help another? And she obeyed the command, followed the will of God, and God provided for all her needs for the next, I think it was 3 years of the famine, of the drought. So God's command has a promise connected with it. In Malachi, it says that if we give God our tithes and offerings freely, then he will bless us by opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out upon us a blessing that we won't have enough room to receive. So in obeying God's command to give him of his own money that he has lent to us is the promise that God will richly bless us. The Ten Commandments contain a promise. That promise is very clearly brought out in the Fifth Commandment. Honor your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which God gives you. And there's no way that you can keep just the Fifth Commandment and obtain that promise while you're breaking any of the other commandments. So in keeping God's law is connected the promise that God will keep you. And praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love, because he didn't have to connect any promise with his command. He's our creator. He's the lawgiver. We are his subjects twice, by creation and the second by redemption. So he has every right to command us and expect us to obey. But God goes beyond that and includes a promise if we keep his commandments. And dear ones, that promise includes eternal life. So what God commands us to do contains a promise that he will not only help us keep his commandments. It's a divine law and we need divine power to keep it. He not only promises to give us that divine power, but to also give us eternal life. And praise his holy name. Now, there's a comment in the room. It says, the fifth commandment doesn't say, if your parents deserve it, honor them. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Very true. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we continue? Please feel free. There was a private question sent to me. What if you're broke and don't have anything to give? And even though we may not have monetary value that we can give to others, there's other gifts of value that can still be given. The gift of time, the gift of self-sacrifice. Amen. The gift of love. And those type of gifts, personal gifts, are of so much more value than money. So in dealing your bread to the hungry, money was expent for the bread. Self-sacrificing time was spent in giving that bread to the hungry. And God indeed will bless you richly for the sacrifice of either your money, your food, your personal time in helping others, and you will be richly blessed by doing so. Now, there's another comment in the room. It says, I gave a very mean lady a persimmon at work, and it meant a lot to her. Oh, praise the Lord. We will keep that lady in prayers, that your kindness shown to her, even though she didn't deserve it, will indeed work a softening influence upon her heart and allow Christ to begin to work. So, amen. Okay, another comment says, she thanked me for 2 days because of that. Praise God, dear sister. Another comment says, and she'll turn as sweet as the persimmon. Oh, we pray so. And prayer can work wonders. Next paragraph. In Christ's act of supplying the temporal necessities of a hungry multitude is wrapped up a deep spiritual lesson for all his workers. Christ received from the Father, he imparted to the disciples, they imparted to the multitude, and the people to one another. So all who are united to Christ will receive from him the bread of life, the heavenly food, and impart it to others. And those who receive that heavenly food, that heavenly manna, that word of life, are to share what they have received with others as well. It's called letting your light shine. You receive the light and now you're no longer in darkness. You're to share that light with others so that they will no longer be in darkness. But if you hold the light to yourself, if you try to hoard it, then that light is going to go out in darkness, because it was not imparted to others and kept bright. Amen. If you water others, you in turn will be watered. Cast thy bread upon the water, and thou shalt find it after many days. It will come back to you. And as you put it in the water, it travels away from you. If it's in a stream, it goes into a lake. From there, it goes into the sea and all around the world. And so for it to come back to you means it has traveled a long distance and accomplished the purpose for which it was scattered. And that's actually a scripture song. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1. So what we have received from God, we're to let shine to others, to give them of the same bread we received.
Bob, you know, this what you're just saying reminds me of the widow who gave her 2 mites. I'm sure Jesus turned to Gabriel and said, make sure that she is recompensed for this. And somewhere down the line, I'm sure the Lord managed to bless her in a way that was more than her 2 mites worth.
Amen, dear brother. I'm positive that she was more than amply rewarded, compensated, provided for her self-sacrifice for God's cause. Amen indeed. A comment in the room quoting Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. So this brings up the thought that you can never outgive God. We own a very little. He owns everything. So even in giving the little that you have for his glory, for the benefit of others, God will more than amply return it back to you. The key is to put God and his cause first and foremost in your life. And in honoring him, he will honor you. Continuing. In full reliance upon God, Jesus took the small store of loaves, and although there was but a small portion for his own family of disciples, he did not invite them to eat, but began to distribute to them, bidding them serve the people. The food multiplied in his hands, and the hands of the disciples reaching out to Christ himself, the bread of life, were never empty. The little store was sufficient for all. After the wants of the people had been supplied, the fragments were gathered up, and Christ and his disciples ate together of the precious heaven-supplied food. Now, if Christ had not fully relied upon God to provide this miracle at his hands, would the bread and fish have multiplied? Would God have worked this miracle? Amen. The answer is no. And why is it no? Why wouldn't God have worked a miracle if Christ did not fully rely upon him? Amen. There would have been no faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if God is not pleased, then he will not work in your behalf. So this shows us that Christ did not rely upon his own power to multiply the food. He fully exercised faith in his Father and relied upon him to work the miracle. That gives us the perfect example to follow. We also must fully rely upon God's help to provide for our needs, especially when we are seeking to provide for the needs of others. And if our faith doesn't lack, no matter how small it might be, if we look unto God in faith, fully relying upon him and trusting in him, then we give him permission to work in our behalfs and also in the behalf of others to accomplish his perfect will. And if it's delivering us from a trial or affliction or a tight place, then he will deliver us, and we are then to glorify his name for delivering us. And when we give our testimony of what good things God has done for us, we are witnessing to others of the character of our God. We are extending His glory, the light of His countenance, farther than it was before, and thus helping to fill this earth with His glory. Now there's another point here. When Christ fully relied upon His Father to provide for the needs and welfare, not just of Him and the disciples, but all of those that were gathered around Him, some 10 to 15,000 people, when God miraculously did so, Christ and the disciples did not first partake of the blessing. They in turn shared it with others. And once the others had been filled, then Christ and the disciples partook of it. So the miracle that God had brought forth here was for the benefit of those around Christ and the disciples. And thus they did not selfishly partake of it first. As the miracle was to benefit others, they used that miracle to benefit others. And once the others were benefited to the full, then Christ and the disciples satisfied their needs. So the blessing that was asked to help others also ended up helping Christ and the disciples. But it wasn't first, it was second. So, dear ones, as we help others in deeds of kindness, in supplying their needs, in helping them, we will be helped and blessed and benefited as well. And that benefit comes after we have helped them. And dear ones, when you do a deed of kindness for others, it gives you an internal feeling that you cannot find anywhere else. It makes you feel so joyful and satisfied and content that you just can't find anywhere else. Amen. Fulfilled.
Amen, Elder Rob, and I would like to share two testimonies, especially with what you have said. In 2009, I was in another room, and there was a young guy, which the Lord had impressed me to pin him on the side to be able to offer some aid, not knowing that he at the time was praying that the Lord would supply him some means for him to go to get baptized. He didn't really have the money. And I was so thankful that the Lord will impress, you know, anyone to be able to kind of supply, not knowing what it is for. But later in years, then someone supplied for myself to be able to be baptized. When we was in the middle of, we just came together and we were sitting on the table. We didn't call anybody or anything. We was just trying to figure out how we was going to come together to bring our Elder Rob to come to be able to baptize us. And then that's when we got the phone call at that moment, and it was Elder Rob, and he was saying, "Hi, girls." And we were so shocked because we was coming together to talk about how he's going to put the money to be able to allow Elder Rob to come to be able to baptize us. And someone had supplied also for see later in years, it was supplied from me to be able to be baptized. And that is just one of the examples that how the way how the Lord works. When you water, you also be watered. And also the other testimony as well. My father was very ill, and he was able to come here in America, not once but twice. One of our dear sister, Sister Lynn, she had even had did a wonderful thing for us as a family. We didn't know how to bring my dad over. And one morning before I was going to be able to go and do some missionary work to send some funds overseas, the Lord impressed me to go into my email. And when I went in to check my email, there was an email with the letters written really large where she says, "Let us do operation. Let's get dad home." And I'm sorry. Our dear sister Lynn has sent the fear to bring my father over. And not only did she send the fear for my father to come over, she also has applied the means to be able to feed him. Because at the time my father had cancer. And in order to be able to take care of cancer patient, you have to make sure that the food is not only alkaline but organic. And it wasn't only Sister Lynn, but dear Sister Yi Yi also sent means to be able to help my dad in an emergency with a medication that he had no medical insurance here. But as we were actually going on our knees for these type of aid, the Lord had supplied all the things that my father needed in the 2 trips that he had made to America. So openly, thank you so much, dear family, for being the instrument in my father's life. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, and praise God indeed. And you know, dear ones, when we have a testimony for God, He may have helped us that one time, but we can share that testimony many times and thus give Him more glory. So praise God indeed, from whom all blessings flow. And praise God that He indeed has His children in this world that are living His life, life of self-sacrifice for the good of others. And praise God for making it all possible. Next paragraph. The disciples were the channel of communication between Christ and the people. This should be a great encouragement to His disciples today. Christ is the great center, the source of all strength. His disciples are to receive their supplies from Him. The most intelligent, the most spiritually minded can bestow only as they receive. Of themselves, they can supply nothing for the needs of the soul. We can impart only that which we receive from Christ, and we can receive only as we impart to others. As we continue imparting, we continue to receive. And the more we impart, the more we shall receive. Thus we may be constantly believing, trusting, receiving, and imparting. So in the beginning, God may give us just one ray of light. And then he sees what we're going to do with that light. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to follow it? Are we then going to share it? If we do, then God sees that we are worthy for another ray of light, because we're not going to misuse what he's already given us. He sees he can trust us, and then he gives us another ray of light. If we follow that same pattern, pretty soon, instead of just having one ray of light, we have many. And thus we are growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The source of that light is Christ. The source of the power to live that light is Christ's divine power. The enlightenment we receive is Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And God is the source, the originator of all of this growing in grace. So as we receive, we're to follow, impart, give to others. And as we do so, we will increase our ability to receive more and to impart more. Now, Christ had a parable along this line. The parable of the talents. The individual that had 5 talents used those 5 talents and now had 5 more because he used them. The individual that had 2 used them and received 2 more. Now he had double the amount he had in the beginning because he used them. The individual that had 1 did not use it, and he didn't get any more. In fact, what he had was taken from him and given to the individual who now had 10 talents, because God saw that he would use it properly. So the light that God has given us, we're to use it in sharing it with others. And if we don't, then that light that we understood to be truth will begin to fade, and it will no longer look like truth. And we'll lose it. May God help us to gather up every ray of light that God has mercifully, miraculously allowed us to see and understand, so that we may plead with God to help us practice it and to share it with others, so that it will not be taken away from us. Comment in the room, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. James 1:17. Also, 1 John 3:17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels, of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Amen. Another comment says, a loved one once told me that when we add Jesus, it multiplies. Or when we add, Jesus multiplies. Amen. So when we add to our faith virtue, Jesus will multiply that virtue in our lives. Amen indeed. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
How do you spread the light that God gives you?
Well, that's a good question. Let's say that God has given you the light of truth, that Jesus died for you on the cross. And because of his death, you now are saved from dying. That is a light of truth. How you share that light of truth is you go to your sisters or you go to your friends and you tell them that Jesus died on the cross so that they don't have to die but can have life instead. You now have shared that truth about Christ to your sisters, to your friends, and they in turn will share that truth to their family members and friends. So when letting your light shine about the truth of Jesus dying on the cross, then God sees he can trust you with that light and will give you other truths as well. Now, there's also a benefit in sharing the truth. You may understand that truth, but when you share that truth with others, it becomes more ingrained in your memory, more a part of you. It takes more of an effect in your life. And that effect is it makes that truth a part of you. Before it was just in your mind, but now in sharing it with others, it has become a part of your life. I remember when God opened my eyes to understand that the Adventist church was not just an apostasy, but had grown so far away from God that it had become part of Babylon, and that its probation was closed, and that it was God's will that all of his people forsake the Adventist church as well as the other fallen churches and come directly to Jesus for their salvation, for the supplying of all their needs. And I comprehended that. I accepted it, followed it, but it wasn't until I shared it with another that it actually dawned on me what had taken place. I comprehended it, I followed it, but it had not yet sunk into my life, if you will. It became a part of me until I shared it. I had already accepted it. I'd already acted on it. But it wasn't until I shared it that it became a part of me. It went from knowledge into substance. I don't know how else to explain it. But it was when I shared it that it actually dawned on me what had really occurred and how it had affected Christ. And I just broke down. So it's not until you share the truth that you followed that a change is made. And it goes from knowledge into part of your life. So you may understand that Christ died on the cross for you, and you may have already accepted him as your Savior, which you need to do. But it's not until you share with others that Christ died on the cross and has provided them a way of escape from death to live that it really becomes a saving truth in your life. So that's how you share the truth. And that was an excellent question, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts, questions, comments? Please feel free.
What I wanted to share is going to come out a little bit from what what was being said, but I just remember. Remember we was talking about miracles? The other day, while I was doing the children's story, I was doing the material, and then I started to think, and I didn't even realize it, when Elder Rob was talking concerning that what happened to him when he started to share it. At that moment, I said, my God, definitely it's a miracle for you to be able to have a second language, because English is my second language, Spanish is my first language, but to be able to understand the message and be able to share it, and it's not your language. I find it to be truly a miracle of God, because there's no way that you can comprehend a second language in a manner that you can be able to share the message. And that's what makes me really believe that the power of God is the only thing that can allow us to do that.
Well, thank you, dear sister. So it is by receiving and sharing that God sees we're trustworthy enough to give us other light, other gifts, other blessings. And so you can see that God's blessings, including the light of truth, is given to those who are unselfish. Those who are willing to utilize his blessings, the truth, in giving it to others so that the others can also come to God with their whole heart and be saved. So, dear ones, may we indeed be the receivers of God's blessings so that we in turn can share these blessings with others and spread God's glory far and wide.
If we could all bow our heads and kneel as far as we can and come humbly before our Godhead. O righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before you to give you many thanks, dear Father, thank you for this lesson, the lessons that we have learned today thus far, dear Father God. Are you hearing me now? Okay. Sorry, I don't know where I left off, but I'll start over again by God's grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before you to give you all honor and praises, dear Father, thank you so much for the lessons that we have learned today, dear Father God, and for stirring our spirits, dear Father, to remember the miracles that you have wrought in our life, whether great or small, dear Father God. Let these miracles not be forgotten for a second, dear Father, that we may be light to those that are around us, dear Father God, impart these same miracles that was wrought to us to others, dear Father God, and thus saith the Lord, in an action, in a deed, in a word. Help us, dear Father God, to continue to remember and to hold on to the confidence of the beginning of our faith, dear Father God, I pray. Help us not to get weary, but to always hold on to you in all things. I pray for each and every one of the dear family that are here with us today. For those that are listening over the phone, for those that will be listening at a later time, for those that are sick and shut in that are not able to be with us today, wherever they are, dear Father God, I pray also that you send your Holy Spirit to be among them and to wake up their spirit, dear Father God. Help them to remember you in all things, to hold on to you in all things, dear Father God, and not to be discouraged, and to remember faith without works is dead, dear Father God. For those that are listening today, help us, Lord, and let not these words fall on deaf ears, dear Father God. Let the seed of truth be so planted deep within our heart soil, dear Father God, that they may sprout, dear Father God, and be abundant, not to just our lives, but for all that is around us, dear Father God, I pray. Lord, please forgive us for our sins and our iniquities, for they are plenty, whether they're in thoughts or deeds, dear Father God. Please forgive them and wash us and make us white as snow. Help us to rest on you and thus saith the Lord. Help us to meet with you daily, dear Father God. And thank you so much for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for bringing us yet another Sabbath, dear Father God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, dear Father God, I pray. And I pray that you will continue to guide us and lead us according to your perfect will. Help us not to lean on our own understandings, because we are but fallible human beings, dear Father God, and we know nothing and can do nothing without you, dear Father God. And thank you for moving all the obstacles in our way, dear Father God. Thank you for making a way for all of our families and for always showing up right on time when we need you, dear Father God. Thank you for all these mercies and your love, in no other name than your Son Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, for praying twice. We appreciate that. Well, dear ones, let's take a 5-minute break, and we'll see you back here at 11:15. Pacific time and 2:15 Eastern time. So we'll see you in about 5 minutes.